Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to church. So good to be with you today. My name is Leslie, and I'm one of the teaching pastors on staff. One of the values of our church here is to partner with other life-giving churches and organizations here on Long Island. And one of those churches is the Presbyterian Church in Islip. And this is a church that has reached out to us and asked if we would consider partnering with them for the month of November by sending out pastors to be able to preach on a Sunday morning. And their pastor was finalizing an adoption process, and so it was a joy to partner with them. And this is a vision that really Pastor Steve has carried through for the past 18 years, and Pastor Henry also has that same vision. And so I had the opportunity to speak out there last Sunday in the book of Daniel as well, and I became so enthralled by the architecture of this building and the beautiful stained glass windows that are inside, and the congregation really just has such a warmth about them. But my guess is if those walls could talk, they would tell of all the ups and downs that had happened in that congregation. You see, it had stood in the town on Main Street for over 150 years, and I'm sure it had seen a lot of history that was there, and it was standing as a testament to God's faithfulness for over those many, many years. And those walls had heard and seen, I'm sure, of problems and hardships and celebrations that happened within their church, as well as so many life-changing decisions within that congregation. And I'm sure that they would speak to the faithfulness of God that came through in that church and in that congregation. And the same is true for us here today, that the same God who was faithful in that church for over the past 150 years and actually before that church was started is the same God who is with us even now. And so today I want us to center and focus in on the faithfulness of God. And we're ending our series, Exiles, in the book of Daniel today in Daniel chapter 6. And so if you have a Bible, I encourage you can open it or find it on your phone or tablet, whatever you might have. It's also going to be on the screen, so you can follow along as I read aloud. But we're in Daniel chapter 6, starting here with verse 1. Says it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the Medes of the with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Now, whether you grew up in church or not, my guess is that you have heard some part of that story. It's a very popular story that is talked about, Daniel in the lion's den. But when we typically talk about or visualize Daniel with sitting amongst the lions, it might look similar to this of what's in my kids' children's Bible, or we visualize a younger or middle-aged man there. But the truth is that Daniel was most likely in his 80s, maybe even his 90s, when this situation happened in his life. And so Daniel had witnessed over the years how God had been faithful to him. And so this is how he kind of finds himself in this situation here in his life. And because of God's faithfulness, Daniel has these responses to him. And I think it's the same kind of responses that we ourselves can have today. And so it's three areas I want us to look at. God's faithfulness causes us to stand. God's faithfulness causes us to kneel. And God's faithfulness causes us to sleep. So first, let's see here that God's faithfulness causes us to stand. You know, here in the beginning part of the chapter, we see that here's Daniel again in the government and in a place of leadership. And he is of this 123 leaders that are selected by King Darius. He's considered the best of them all. And so as a result, he is about to be promoted to second in command. And if you look in verses 3 and 4, you can see kind of why he would have been promoted. It says that he had exceptional qualities, that he was trustworthy, that he was not corrupt. He was attentive to what was happening in the government. And so I'm sure when this promotion came his way, his peers were somewhat jealous and perhaps envious of what was happening in his life. And you see, it says that they went and they tried to find any dirt to dig up on Daniel, anything that they could show that he was a corrupt politician, but they came up short. Did you catch that? It's a miracle. There's a politician without any corruption. That's remarkable, especially as we've come out of our presidential series. But you see that Daniel he stood for what was right. He had no fear that he knew that he could stand for God's truth because God had been faithful to him over the years and had given him the strength and the wisdom and the understanding. And Daniel was confident in God's faithfulness and was able to stand once again with that truth that God had planted into his heart. My guess is that when these other leaders caught wind that Daniel was going to be their boss, it caused within them some concern because they knew, oh, I can't get away with doing the kind of things that I want to, of accepting bribes or creating preferential treatment for this group or that group. And so they probably chafed at the fact of having to be a person of power and influence to being a politician with integrity. And I'm sure they didn't like that. And so in verse 5, we read what they set out to do. They said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." It's interesting that they came up with this law that no one can pray to anybody else except for King Darius. I'm not sure about you, but whenever I read that part, I think it's odd that they would pray to a human being. That doesn't make any sense, at least in my mindset. But you have to understand that the Babylonian people considered kings to be the mediator between the gods and the people. And so this was a political act, not a spiritual one. When the leaders came to Darius and said, "Hey, we think you should be the sole mediator, really the source of all the blessing that's going to come to our nation. We think you should get the credit for that for the next 30 days. And of course, Darius agreed to that. And so this law is put into place. And perhaps it seems that this law was a way to honor Darius. But in reality, it was a conspiracy to keep a man who stood out from the crowd, a man who stood up for what is right, a man who stood against sin and evil and destruction in the government and in his nation. He stood against that. It was really a conspiracy to keep him from having that influence. But you see, that didn't shake Daniel. He stood for truth because he had seen how God had been faithful to him over the decades. And so he stood for truth even when it cost him. At the start of the pandemic, my husband was furloughed from his work because his industry basically came to an immediate halt. And so over the course of time and the months that followed after that, it became Sean's attention, that there were some shady dealings happening in the company, and some unethical behavior taking place. And so when the opportunity came, he knew that he had to make a decision of what was going to happen at the company. And so obviously it was a hit for us financially when this furloughing happened. And so we benefited from him being involved with the company, but we knew we needed to make the right decision, a decision that honored God and his truth. And so we didn't know really what was going to happen on the other side of that decision, but we knew that God had been faithful to us in all the years leading up to that moment. God had been faithful to us and our family, faithful to us in our family's lives as well. And so God wasn't going to stop then. And so we made the decision. And so the next time Sean was with his company, he approached the owners and let them know he was aware of those decisions that were being made. And he left the company that day. And I can tell you that there's been no regret since then, because again, our God is a faithful God who has taken care of our family better than we could have even asked or imagined. And our God he sees us and he takes care of us in every season of our lives. And he's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. So we can stand confidently for him, and we can watch and see how God will continue to be faithful and provide for us. You see, God's faithfulness causes us to stand. Secondly, God's faithfulness causes us to kneel. If you look here in verse 10, we read what Daniel's response was to this decree that went out from Darius. Verse 10 says, "When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." Now remember, the law, the decree that was made, said that you couldn't pray to anybody else, you couldn't seek help from anybody else except for Darius. But because of the faithfulness of God in Daniel's life, there was no one else who Daniel wanted to seek. There was no one else who Daniel wanted to ask for help except for God, because God had been faithful to him time after time after time. And so there was no reason why Daniel should stop at that moment. And so Daniel went here, we see in verse 10, it says to the windows that were open. Daniel wasn't hiding his dependency upon God. In fact, there was really no reason to, because the whole decree, the whole law, the whole situation that he was in was because of his faith in God. And so there's really no need to hide it anyways. But he was not secret that he was fully dependent on God. If you read here too, you can see that the windows were open and facing towards Jerusalem, which is an easy detail just to gloss right over and skim right on by and keep on with the story. But it's an interesting detail that I think that we need to take a look at, and that I believe Daniel was claiming the promise that we see in 1 Kings chapter 8. When Solomon was dedicating the temple that had been built there in Jerusalem. And so when Solomon dedicated the temple, he prayed that whenever God's people were in a season of isolation, a season of drought, a season of separation from God, they were to pray towards Jerusalem. And God promised that he would hear them. He would listen. He would heal. He would restore. He would rebuild. And so we see Daniel, I believe, claiming that promise here in his life and in the life of what was happening around him. But, you know, if I was to pray towards a place that was destroyed, Daniel was praying and looking towards Jerusalem, a place that wasn't even built up, I think that would have stirred up sadness or confusion or questions of, God, when are you going to make true on this promise that you have told to us? You know, Daniel continually faced the not yet. I would have thought that would have brought despair and all those questions. But you see, praying towards Jerusalem, the place where God had said, I promise I'm going to do this, it gave him hope because he believed and he trusted and he had seen God be faithful and true to his promises time after time after time, and he knew God was not going to stop. And so as he prayed and knelt towards Jerusalem, the place that brought him hope, because he knew that if God said it, he believed it, and that was it. And so he was here again, needing God to keep his promise to him of deliverance and being faithful and true and protecting him. And so Daniel knelt to God in prayer. Most of you might know, but I have two young children, Kate, who's 4, and Sam, who's 3, and lots of fun and activity in our house. But our main floor has just 2 bedrooms, and so our kids share a room, which for right now they think is the greatest thing, so we're going to go with it as long as we can. We got the bunk beds and being in each other's space, which not sure how long that's going to last, but it's fun for them right now. I can remember, though, as when they were babies, when I would hear them cry, I would get up and go to them in the night, and I would see what they needed, answer them, answer their call, answer their cry, and take care of them. And the same is true now. When they call out my name in the night, I go to them. I answer them. I hear them. And I'm listening. Maybe I don't give them exactly what they want, but a good parent, when you hear the call and the cry of your children, you go to them and you answer. It's the same with God. God says that I will hear you. I am listening when you call out to me. And Daniel had no interest in calling out to anybody else but to God, who has been faithful and true in his life. And notice that Daniel, he called out in times of trouble, but it wasn't just when he was calling out to God. If you see here in Daniel chapter 6, it talks about how this is what Daniel did. This was his daily habit of depending upon God, of kneeling before God, of facing towards the God who is faithful and saying, God, do it again. I need you to do it again. I need you to do it again. You are faithful. You are good. And I trust you to handle what's happening in my life right now. So I get down on my knees and I pray to you again. I call out to you. You see, God's faithfulness causes us to stand. God's faithfulness causes us to kneel. And then lastly, God's faithfulness causes us to sleep. This is the part of the story that most of us are familiar with, when Daniel is with the lions. And I've had the opportunity to be with lions before. My husband is from South Africa, so I've played with lions many times. It's not playing, it's like swatting with a paw the size of my face. But, you know, it's a fun experience, a touristy kind of thing to do. But I can see why Darius would be so interested in keeping Daniel from the lion's den. And so we see here that Darius, in scripture, he tried everything possible to keep Daniel from that fate that was found in the lion's den. And scripture says that as Daniel was being led to the lion's den, as he was entering into the lion's den, it says that Darius called out to him, "May your God whom you serve continually rescue you." You see, Darius thought that God's intervention in this situation, to reaching out to God, it was the last resort. He had tried everything he could possible, and then he said, maybe your God will help you. But for Daniel, God's intervention was his only option. You see, we don't read about Daniel trying to find loopholes in the law or pleading before these government leaders for mercy or asking for forgiveness, saying, I didn't really mean to do that, I take it back. We don't see that at all in this chapter, in this story at all, because Daniel trusted God, and he was at peace with whatever happened to him. Darius, probably one of the safest physically in that whole kingdom, yet he was internally disturbed. Daniel, though, was in very disturbing situation, physical circumstances, yet he was at peace internally. He slept just fine with the lions. Scripture says that Darius could not sleep at all. Daniel, though, was at peace. You see, God's faithfulness causes us to sleep, to be at peace with whatever situation comes our way. And God's not surprised by what's happening in your life. He's not taken back by whatever predicament is looking at you in the face right now. He's not surprised by any of it. We have to trust that he is in control. And he's not going to deliver us from whatever we're facing here this morning. In fact, we might have to go through a season, a year, a day, whatever it might be, of the lion's den. We might have to enter and go through the lion's den. But you see, we can be at peace because we know who holds the future. We can rest. We can be at peace because we know the one who holds the future. I love this promise in Isaiah 26 to God's people, which reads, "You," meaning God, "you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast because they trust in you." You can be a good, obedient person, obedient to God's person, and still experience suffering and hardship. You can, though, be at rest and peace despite whatever is happening around you. Being at rest and in peace doesn't exclude you from loss, doesn't keep you from suffering or hardships. Look at the life of Daniel. He was an obedient man, true to God, followed, upstanding person, and yet he still suffered this hardship and difficulty in his life. Peace doesn't come by our outward circumstances. You know, everything that's happening around us can change from day to day. And if we're in 2020, it can change from hour to hour, it seems. But peace is found where you rest your heart, where you put your heart and your mind and your trust. You know, the choice is ours. We can put our rest in our own abilities, or we can rest and trust in God who is with us in every season, in every situation that we're facing. In Daniel 6:23, we read that the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. This coming after the morning with the lions. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Scripture doesn't say what Daniel envisioned God doing in the lion's den, but he trusted him. He trusted him and that God was in control, and he left it at that. You know, our choices can lead us to either to a place of worry and unrest, or our choices can lead us to a place of peace. It's our choice. Because you see, it's not necessarily what's happening around us. It's who is with us in the midst of the circumstances. It's not what's happening around us, but it's who is with us in the midst of all of us. You see, God's faithfulness causes us to sleep, to be at rest no matter what we're facing. And the way in which we respond, the way in which we respond has an opportunity to give God the spotlight of his faithfulness and his strength and his power and his greatness. Daniel, when he came through, changed the way in which Darius viewed his God. The same is true for us. The way in which we handle and go through those hardships and things that we're facing in our life have the opportunity to give God the spotlight of his greatness and his faithfulness at work in our lives. So honor God with the way in which you respond, the way in which you handle those times in your life, and leave the rest up to God. In verse 17, we read that as a stone was placed over the den, the mouth of the den, the hole of the den, so that Daniel's situation might not change. Maybe you're here today and you feel as though you're in a situation that feels like it's not going to change. I'm not sure what you're looking at, what you're facing, but I know that our God is a faithful God, and I know of another stone that was put in front of another hole, the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that stone was put there so that that situation would not change. But listen, I have been personally to the empty tomb. I have stood there, and I can tell you that stone has done no good. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he has come, and he has broken through the impossible. God is in the business of bringing life out of darkness. So if you are facing something that is so insurmountable that you feel is the impossible, our God is the God of the impossible. There's nothing that is too difficult or hard for him. Jesus has come and stepped into our world. He brought hope and light into our darkness. Jesus, he's our rock, and he's our redeemer, the one who has never failed. And he's not going to start now. Jesus, he is our chief cornerstone, the one in which not just this church was built upon, the one that we are to build our lives on as well. So stand confidently in God's truth. Kneel in dependency to him. And be at peace. Sleep in peace, because our God is a faithful God. I want to invite you now to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and reflection. It's an opportunity for us, you personally, to think through your life and God's faithfulness as well. First, God's faithfulness causes us to stand. Is there an area in your life where you're compromising your faith or your Christian beliefs because you fear the outcome? In what way does knowing that God's faithful change how it's going to change how you live this week? God's faithfulness causes us to kneel. How important is it for you to call out to God in your life? What do you need to ask him this morning, knowing that he is faithful? God's faithfulness causes us to sleep. What's keeping you up at night? What's causing your heart, your soul, your mind to be at unrest? Does your response to your circumstances need to change in order to showcase God's faithfulness? Our God, you are a faithful God. God, we thank you that your faithfulness, your goodness, your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your character is not dependent on how we respond. God, that is who you are. Thank you for the truth in your word that says and reminds us that even when we are faithless, even when we don't know how to move forward, even when we don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, even when we're not sure how this whole thing's going to work itself out, even when we're faithless, God, you are faithful. God, we pray that you cause within us, stir up within us the strength to stand for your truth. To stand up, to stand out, to speak up. God, thank you that your faithfulness causes us to kneel. God, did you hear us? You answer us. And you're with us. God, your faithfulness, thank you that it causes us to be at peace and at rest. Not because everything's right in our life, because you are with us. God, I pray by your Spirit that you cause within us those responses to your faithfulness this week. God, we want to be people who are showcasing your greatness, your strength, your power at work in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, that you are good. We turn our eyes to you today, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our God is a faithful God. I'd invite you to stand now and sing as we continue now in worship.